Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. It is March 17th, and this is episode 150. I'm sitting here. Yeah, it's with a lot of reflections, actually. Like, I was going to frame this as coming from a lot of like chagrin and guilt about the last time I uploaded an episode. And the truth is, I mean, all of this cringy feeling is precisely why it is so hard to update. Yeah, there's so much judgment. It's like really overwhelming and pretty tidal. And that's okay. Like, my intention for starting this was to make it accessible for everyone, and mostly for myself as someone who really struggles with a kind of perfectionism that tends to be really pernicious, because it's not that I ever aspire to be perfect. It's just that I am routinely convinced that the way I do something is just wrong. And so I don't know if, you know, perfectionism, I've shared this before, I feel like has incorrect branding for the branch of perfectionism I practice, which is just, yeah, like a visceral conviction that I'm a piece of shit if I do anything. And so I tend to be a lot happier when I'm planning / procrastinating / trying to pre-game and pre-viz the way I'm going to do something, instead of just getting it out there and doing it. On that note, if you are a personal friend of mine, then I've probably chewed your ear off about the documentary that Jonah Hill has out on Netflix. It's been out for a while. It's called Stutz, and it's with Phil Stutz, his therapist. And actually, sidebar, the show on Apple TV called Shrinking with Harrison Ford is kind of based on Phil Stutz, to where his name was supposed to be Phil, and then Phil Stutz, the actual man / Jonah Hill therapist, was not into that. But apparently he has a lot of clients and has this documentary that I think is like really beneficial, especially if you don't have access to therapy. And in it, he has this theory that I'm going to butcher now for you, which is why you should watch it instead of just, you know, allowing me to feed you little nuggets of hearsay. But the general gist that has a tremendous amount of utility for me is that everything you make, if you envision it as like a pearl, every pearl is going to have a piece of shit inside of it. And for me, I think the promise of that piece of shit makes that pearl that much more dreadful and that much more terrifying, and makes me that much more reluctant to actually part ways with it and just let it be, and let it be seen that that's where I was at that moment. And there's kind of this like fatalism that I enjoy about that, like knowing that there's always going to be a piece of shit in every single pearl. And, you know, the pursuit of like work and art and practice and all that stuff is just making as many pearls as possible while we are able, while I am able, while I am alive. Yeah, so here is this piece of shit for you, knowing that it will in many ways resemble a piece of shit, but hopefully can also be simultaneously framed as and seen as a pearl. Even saying it out loud is so cringy, but again, you know, the simultaneity of dualities, even being cringe, is so ego-based. It's like so like me, 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 me. But yeah, the last time I spoke, I mean, literally this podcast module on Spotify was called Anchor and now looks so different on my phone. I was super surprised. That's how long it's been. And I talked a little bit about how much sort of like morality I can bring into not only an ADHD diagnosis, but also being medicated for it. And I think I shared that I was taking Adderall and had a lot of like bizarre, you know, hierarchical, kind of like almost like anorexic like tendencies like towards the medication itself. Like I felt cleaner, and I say that in like this like 40,000 point font in like a drop shadow, italics, underlined. Like I felt cleaner taking half my medication or else taking none at all. And I was really sort of thinking about, you know, like just all of that and like where that comes from versus thinking about how everybody is different and how certain people take extended release, certain people take a higher dose once a day, and certain people take two doses separated by several hours. And none of this has anything to do other than with anything, certainly not morality or like depth or level or weight of quote sickness or like, you know, cognitive divergence. It's as erroneous as, like, I guess blood type. It's versus the way I think about it, which is like this continuation, which is that like, as long as I keep my dosage minimal, it means that I'm like closer to normalcy, whatever that means, or closer to one day being off it and closer to, I don't know, like having vanquished my neurodivergencies through like sheer intestinal fortitude. Like, I don't know what that storytelling is, but you see where I'm going with it. Or don't. Welcome. But yeah, like I have that. And then I have the very real thing, which is the update, I suppose, which is that I am noticing that for me, and this is not at all about how anyone else should do anything, I'm noticing that like Adderall affects my creative work. And, you know, to get current, I've been working on this book now for 2.5 years. It's late. It's late, and I've never been late before, and it scares me. And it's the one book that I sold before I wrote, which I've never done before. Like, I've usually written it and then sold it so that, you know, there was this almost like this mental thing of like this exchange, you know, like I'm giving this thing that pre-exists to someone versus receiving someone's money and then like satisfying this like gaping, glowing, throbbing hole that I have to like recompense. Like it genuinely feels like I owe someone money, and I'm learning for me that that's not a great place for me to write from. Lesson learned. But with that, I'm seeing that when I'm taking Adderall, there's like kind of this like slippery aspect to like my motility. Like it's kind of like I will write with no friction, and it feels great. I mean, there is a part of it that feels like, you know, a fucking luge or something where I'm like, whoa, like 2.5 hours has elapsed and I've just been like, you know, like typing away and it's felt so smooth. It feels like gliding, you know, all this stuff. And now that I'm actually looking back at it, I'm like, wow, some of these sentences, and obviously I speak in run-on sentences and my writing is just a stream of consciousness, but some of them have like so many clauses and some of them even repeat. And so for me, I'm like looking and I'm like, wow, I'm seeing the ways in which editing this is going to be nightmarish. It's almost like cherry picking. Like it's basically having to like winnow again, like basically like taking out all the grain from the chaff again, which really does to me double the editing work, which is hard. And you know, and just fascinating, frankly. Like, there's so many like objects in some of these sentences where I'm like, what am I actually trying to say? And that is a real byproduct of this medication on my very particular work, and not even very particular work, but like very particular stage of the work that I do. And so I am actually seeing that for me, medicating and doing this stage of work is just not simpatico. And so, yeah, it's weird, but figuring all this out and like gathering data and be willing for that data to be true is such a process. And I'm learning that like, if I'm going to be actually writing, I need to do it later in the day when the medication is basically worn off, or on drug holiday days where like I don't take the drug at all and just do a certain like chunk of pure idea, plucking it out of thin air creative writing. And I wish it hadn't taken me a year and a half and like 100,000 word manuscript to learn that, but that is what it is. And it's really hard. And, you know, it's been really interesting, I think, to have my bulimia and my eating disorder as like something to compare another thing to. I'm not trying to couch neurodivergency as being some kind of like disorder or like disease or like something to fix. Like, that's not what I'm saying. And for the record, I don't feel that way about an eating disorder either necessarily. I think that for me, it was just a tool and a coping mechanism that outlived its usefulness, and that I am like still discovering to this day other modalities to help with that. And so with ADHD, like if I think about it in terms of like my binge eating and my bulimia and like my exercise bulimia and my, you know, all of that, it's like, what's going to help me process it and actually like live alongside it is to just genuinely treat it as something that most things are, which is that like on some days it's hard and on other days it's like a great boon. Like, I'm also seeing the ways in which my expansive, slightly like peripatetic, like, you know, fizzy brain is great for the work that I do. It just makes it that much more challenging to put my butt on a chair to actually do it. And, you know, the biggest thing for me as far as living in acceptance of my eating disorder was the one thing, which was like, you eat it, you keep it. And so I wasn't allowed to like work it off, and I wasn't allowed to starve the next meal or do anything sort of like that. None of the food I eat is a problem to fix. And for better or worse, I had to have my next right healthy meal that I had set an intention around. And so like once I stopped quote unquote dieting or fixing is when I started really being able to detach from that behavior and really think about it in terms of whether or not it was hurting me or, helping me. And similarly, so like, it wasn't ever like the food that was an issue, is just how much I hated myself about the food. And similarly with Adderall and ADHD, it's not that my brain has all the tabs open. It's that I really want to punish myself into only having one tab open. And when I can't do that, I really use self-hate and really, really, really horrible self-talk to keep myself in line. And, you know, I also use Adderall in that way where, like, you have to take it. You always have to take it. You, like, the way you sabotage yourself is crazy. And this does not apply to other kinds of medications like SSRIs or, you know, most types of antidepressants, which take so long to titrate. Like, Adderall and stimulant-based medication is as needed. And I recently talked to my psychiatrist who shared that sometimes he gives some people a 30-day course I keep calling them subscriptions. They're prescriptions. And they don't take them for like, or they run out in 6 months. And that was like really empowering and actualizing to hear that like, I'm not fucking it up. And so it's just been interesting to see how, as a result of my eating disorder, I was just so convinced I was like fucking things up. And even with neurodivergency, I'm just convinced I'm fucking things up. And so that to me shows me that, like, you know, lowest common denominator, none of the quote problems are the problem. It's that I, as a safety measure, live in fear and like beratement, and that's the problem. So I say this to say that this is clearly another yet another imperfect missive, but it is here and shared with love and zero expectation, and if nothing, just like yet another illustration of the inner workings of a scrambled mind that is trying their best. And regardless of the optics of how good it may, I don't even know if it does look in terms of like things I'm working on or things I'm purported to be working on, inside here, it's still like a spaghetti of barbed self-loathing. And it's not even like, it's not fun, but it's okay. And I'm trying to live in the grace of receiving that, some of that okayness within myself. So thank you for listening, and just have a gentle day if that is accessible to you, and if not, that's okay, and I hope for a gentle day in your future. Okay.